This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by Metashare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHanson.com.
Hey there, my name is Brandt. Thank you for listening. That was a little abrupt, wasn't it?
It was.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Producer Sherry's here, too. Prediction for the big football showdown?
Care. Who cares?
Who cares is the prediction. So this is the...
I'm still a little bitter. It's okay. I'll work through
she's
it.
She's a Steelers fan. It's fine. I don't know. I think I'd like to see that sort of analysis.
What?
Like, if just, like, the guys behind the desk.
Total apathy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just, like, they can't care about everything passionately.
That's true.
So, like, well, just... how would you break down? You know what? I wouldn't break it down.
It's not even worth it.
I don't care. I don't.
I would watch that sports show.
I would too. You know, that's not an area of interest to me. Those particular linebackers don't interest me. You know what's strange? I don't know if this happens to you, but we get emotional about our cars. Like, we form emotional attachments. And today, we have to hand our car back in for good. We've used it for years, but Volkswagen has to buy it back because they...
They just messed some stuff up.
Yeah, sure. they messed up a bunch of stuff. But we've had it for years. Our kids got older in that little station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, it's kind of an emotional thing.
This is emotional. Because you don't usually show a lot of emotion in, but there are actually tears in your eyes.
No, there's not.
There are tears.
No, there's not.
I can see it. Okay.
No, there's not.
What's with all the violins then?
There aren't any violins. There... I don't know what you're talking about.
I heard
about.
Violins and I saw tears.
There's no tears in it. I don't remember the violins. Maybe that was there. Well, it's a big sports weekend coming up here. We're all aware of that. Lots of big sports things happening. But wait.
What?
But wait. I can't find the theme music.
Wait for what?
Wait.
Oh. Oh.
Forget sports for a moment. Forget the Super Bowl. We have breaking animal news. This is news about animals. We cover animal news as it happens.
We are the only show that will break into programming for animal news.
Yep, we bring it to you.
Fresh.
It turns out, if you got a dog, you may have wondered, what kind of music does my dog really like? Great question.
Hmm.
So they did this study and they found out that dogs like two kinds of music. Reggae and what they call soft rock. So I don't know where our station falls into that, but maybe on the soft rock-ish.
That's it. So no dog anywhere on the face of the earth would like a hard rock song. Is that what you're saying?
No, it just says their behavior improves when they listen to reggae or when they listen to...
Their behavior improves?
That's what it says.
I want you to blast Bob Marley through your house because your dogs... Oh,
yes. Next time you come over, you're going to hear...
I'll be like, what's with all the reggae?
One love, man. Just to get these dogs behave. I'm not that into it, but look at them. They're awesome now. What happened? Just a little reminder, if you have been listening to this station for not that long or something, we need you to know this, okay? You are totally welcome here, even if you don't agree with us on the Christianity thing. I really mean it. Like, if you're somebody who's listening, I don't know about this. Not sold. Kind of like some of the songs, or I like the stuff you guys talk about in general, but I'm not there on that. Please know you're totally welcome here. We have no interest or desire in controlling you. You're not a project. We don't get bonus points if you decide to follow Jesus. That's not our thing. All that said, obviously we are believers. That's where we're coming from, and we're going to be honest about it. And we've seen some wonderful things in our lives as a result of it, and so we're very thankful. That doesn't mean we should act like we have all the answers on everything, because we don't. We do think God is really good. We think Jesus is really the only hope for the world. And so you know where we're coming from, and you are welcome here. We were just talking about how you're welcome here, even if you're an atheist or agnostic or whatever you think about Christianity, you're welcome here. Now, goodness, I had a good point to make, and it just slipped my mind. Doggone. It was really going to be profound.
It's going to get good?
Oh, man.
Well,
I think
you
would have come forward to be baptized
really?
After I was done. Yeah.
I don't know.
Finally.
I just don't know.
I'm trying to...
Well, you see someone's life, and then when the message doesn't add up, it's
close,
hard to
though.
Walk down the aisle. Because you know what it all you seen behind the curtain. And it's a stumbling block. That's what the Bible called it.
I saw you sort of angling out into the aisle.
One leg out into the aisle.
I don't know.
I can't make the commitment yet. Not yet.
Like, now's the time. But you can't do it because you see it.
Okay.
I have a box of Kleenexes up here. If anybody wants to come forward and just, I don't know.
Singing just
only one person in the crowd right now. So I guess it's you.
Do you remember that? Lincoln Brewster did like a... altar call at the company meeting.
Yeah, it's an outdoor picnic. It's 90 degrees.
Yeah, and it's a Christian company. So what, I'm not saying no one needs to come up, but I was confused why we were doing that in the middle. And then you turned to me.
Yeah, I pivoted and I just faced Sherry.
During the altar call
from
session.
Across the patio.
Yeah, because I wouldn't stand next to you because we had gotten into so much trouble in meetings being together. So when I came to the meeting late, full disclosure, you were there and you came to walk to me and I was like, no, you stand over there. I'll stand over here. I don't want to deal with it. So when they did the altar call thing, Brent pivots to me. And so now everyone is standing
from across the patio. Yeah, I pivoted, did a 90 degree. Like, I wasn't facing front anymore. I was just staring right at Sherry, unblinking. Like, he's talking about you. You need to go.
And I wouldn't even look at him. And the girl next to me is like, is Brent looking at you? And I was like, don't look. Don't acknowledge it. Let's just get through the meeting. And you wouldn't turn around. You stayed that way through the whole thing. Lincoln Brewster's up there strumming away. This is what people had to deal with at our meetings.
They were like, why? They were like,
why is Brent staring at Sherry? And I just would not.
Why does he think Sherry needs to come forward? We had this idea, too. Should we tell? We're off on
tangent.
Podcast land here. This can't go on the air. We had an idea because Sherry's single.
I forgot about this.
I think it was a genius idea.
Yeah.
And you guys could do this if you go to a church that you got a single woman. If you do, like, have you come down the aisle when they say, let's have people come down the aisle.
Right.
You get Kleenexes and stuff. And then I'll be her wingman.
Right.
And then, like, because you need people to come up and put their arms around you and pray for you or whatever.
Yeah, right, right.
I'll go out into the crowd and find guys that Sherry has already approved. Say, hey, she needs you up there to pray with her.
To pray for her.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, I'm there at the altar.
Right.
And
okay. Then we pivot quickly.
Right.
And then suddenly it's a wedding because the two are up front.
He's already picked them out. He's kind of ushered him up front.
Now there's groomsmen. We are gathered here today. Are you married? Before he can get out of there. So that was
something we thought about. I haven't implemented it yet. Still some kinks in it, but I like it overall.
We like the idea of you in tears, like looking back into the crowd and going, "You, no, not you, you," pointing out people to come
him
up and
right
pray.
There, yeah, you pray, you and then you, and then you, yeah. We really did think it all the way through. I forgot about that.
You sit down. You sit down.
Not
over
you.
Here.
Yes, you. As they're coming down the aisle. No, not you. The guy too behind you. Yes, you. You go back. You come on forward.
I don't need you to pray with me. I want him over there. Yeah, with the suit. That guy. Yeah.
Oh gosh, why?
Terrible.
It is, and we have a show
really
to do.
Really terrible.
Brent, we actually have a show to do, guys.
So. I'm embarrassed by this.
So, the whole thing?
The whole thing. We were just talking about how you're welcome here, even if you're not a believer in Jesus. Like, it's just not you right now. It's not where you are. You're an atheist, agnostic, whatever. You're welcome here. Gotta tell you, like, there aren't many objections that I would say that Sherry nor I haven't heard.
Yeah.
Like, and some of them filed by ourselves, because if you go through certain things, if you grow up in church land, you can have things happen, and some people walk away, and others of us have to work through it. But I think it's wonderful. One thing about the Bible, like all the objections that people have, I haven't heard one that's not already there. like already in the Bible. It's not a sing-songy children's book. It deals with real struggles and real questions. I mean, what the whole book of Job, for instance, like how much can somebody say now against God that's not already lodged against him in Scripture? I mean, it deals with all of this stuff. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, that's not glossed over, I'll tell you that. Like, all the difficult questions, I'm very thankful. Even if I don't get a quick one-line answer, I do get it dealt with. God's not ignoring it. His name is Rick. He did something really weird. He's a friend of mine and a friend of Sherry's. He did something really weird on Facebook. He just posted something that was fun.
Oh, my goodness. He must not. He didn't get the memo. The political memo.
Dude, you're supposed to just fight and fuss.
No fun.
Anyway, what he shared was this news story. I don't know if you saw this, but it said that bald guys are actually, you know, Rick is bald. So, of course, it went straight top of his news feed.
Right.
But bald guys are perceived as being more successful, more masculine, more intelligent, and stronger.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of fussing and feuding, another friend got on there and started a big old fight.
Well, I didn't mean to start a fight. I just said that it was fake news.
But and you didn't mean that to be offensive in any way.
No, I meant
sure.
it in the best possible way. But wondering what you thought about that. I mean, do women actually perceive, like, guys who are bald as all that stuff, all better and stuff?
I don't think I see that either.
Okay.
I like hair. I like hair on heads.
And?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I don't think you want to hear what I want to say.
No, I'm totally open to it.
Okay.
I want you to feel like you can say what you want to say.
Okay. I do like bald with a goatee.
Okay, that's ridiculous. Anyway, Amy.
I saw that coming.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know. I telegraphed it. Did you see this study?
I saw it.
Are you bald?
By choice. Hair's just too much work. Mm-hmm. You just got to put too much product in it and so forth. I'd rather just wake up in the morning, take a shower, and be able to go to work or do anything like that.
How did your wife feel about that? So you weren't necessarily losing your hair, but you decided to just get rid of it.
She actually prefers it.
Huh.
Which is what this study said that Brandt doesn't believe.
I'm against the study. As somebody whom God has apparently cursed with lots of bouncing and baby's hair.
You do have a nice mane.
Sure, thank
you.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
one man to another, you have a nice mane.
Yeah.
Which apparently connotes weakness and lack of masculinity.
That's what the study says.
Yeah, and lack of intelligence.
Brant and Fabio.
You may have a weird job. We do, too. And part of the weirdness for me is, like, if I've already said something on the air, should I ever say it again? I've been doing this for years. May not sound like it, but I've been doing it for years. And I'm like, well, I already said that. Well, but I need to be reminded of stuff. So I'm going to say something again because I'm talking to me and I'm talking to you. Reminders are really good, even if you heard me say this before. When you're getting mad at people and you think, okay, I know I'm supposed to forgive people, but this person doesn't deserve it. If you're coming from a Christian perspective, if that's your worldview, it's not about whether they deserve it or not. That person who's driving you crazy because they're just so wrong on Twitter and on Facebook, or they're so right, but they make you angry at somebody else. Like, the person you're angry with, you extend forgiveness to them, not, again, based on them, but based on you, because God's forgiven you. Otherwise, we're just in a self-righteous battle against other self-righteous people. And it's never going to end. It's constant self-righteousness. The only way to puncture that is to forgive. And again, it doesn't even matter whether they deserve it or not. The point is, you didn't either, and yet God forgave you. Something I've really had to remind myself of, and maybe you have too lately, because just the way things are in our country and stuff. And then with social media, like, if I say things, it can be totally 100% right. And if I don't love, it's noise. It's obnoxious. It's annoying. I'm adding to a bunch of headache-inducing noise, even if I'm right, if I don't have love. And I kind of modified the Bible on this and tweeted it out, sort of as a joke, but not really. Paul wrote in the Bible, he said, if I speak in the tongues of angels or men, but I don't have love, I'm like a clanging cymbal. I'm a bunch of noise. So I tweeted, if I tweet in the tongues of angels or men, and I don't have love, then I'm just a bunch of noise. And it's true. And it's hard because I sit down and I've got things I want to say, but if I'm not going to be motivated by love, the world is better off without whatever it was I was going to say. You think you're just listening to a radio show right now, but it's so much more. So much more is at stake. We're actually on board in like a control deck type experience on a spaceship, and we're looking at an alien planet teeming with friendly alien life. That planet could blow up in front of our eyes based on what a listener does here.
This is what we do. And we do it because we don't have any prizes. We don't have a budget for prizes.
That's exactly right. So we come up with fanciful ways to cover up for that by raising the stakes.
Sure.
In an imaginary way.
So, and we still get these awesome questions. And so here's the thing. Do you accept this responsibility of an entire planet that could blow up on your watch because of you? John, are you ready for this?
Well, yeah, because in the end, life and death has to happen. So if I screw up, it was meant to be.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, the aliens heard that and they're a little disturbed.
Wow.
Yeah.
They don't expect people to get all
flippant.
Ecclesiastes right before the... Well, all right, here's the
thing.
Yeah.
If you freak out too much, then you've already doomed them. So you just have to come in with that attitude of whatever's to be will be, because then you're just cool, calm, and collective. So there's no stress, you know?
Give them peace. Sure, sure.
Right. Here we go. Question. Each year, 14,000 Americans are injured by what at the office? And I have it's multiple choice. You have one of two, so 50-50 chance. 14,000 Americans are injured by this at the office. A, staplers. Or B, printers.
I would say staplers, because I've been injured by a stapler. So that was the first thing before I even heard the options. I would go stapler.
All right.
Going with your own testimony there. He's got a testimony.
All right. Well, let's look at this planet and see what happens.
The answer is staplers.
Oh,
you did it.
This is a parade in your honor they're having here, which is beautiful.
At first they were scared, and then they heard your philosophy about just trying to calm down, and then you nailed it.
So glad you're listening. Thanks for being a part of things. My name is Brant. Producer Sherry is here too.
John, that we had on the phone before, he's still here. He has a deal breaker question for you.
For me?
Yes, he does.
Okay. A deal breaker question, just so you know, is like... when you ask about a potential spouse, like if you're, imagine you're single and you meet the perfect person, but for this one quirk...
Yeah, is it a deal breaker?
Would
John wants to know.
All right.
Well, this was a dream come true because I've always enjoyed your randomosity. But, Brant, you have to answer me one question real quick.
Yeah.
You find the perfect woman of your dreams, but here's the catch. The only two English phrases she knows is, I hate mac and cheese, and I love you. Everything else she speaks in Klingon. Do you go for it?
Absolutely. I did not let someone
get Yeah. It's a man of principle.
I would learn Klingon. There's Klingon dictionaries online.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yep. I already know some. Look, people are kind of afraid of getting older. I get it. You look in the mirror, you don't want to get older. You start feeling that way. I don't know. Late 20s, 30s. I don't know when that kicks in for women in particular.
Has it kicked in for you?
Honestly, we guys kind of get better looking as time goes on.
Oh, boy.
I don't want to say it.
Okay.
I had a really spiritual point to make.
I did not make you say that.
But you asked the question. And it's not something that we guys can just shut off.
Okay, yeah, it just...
All of us,
so,
we all...
Yeah, it just continues to flow,
huh? Getting better shape, in better shape.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing.
You just told us before how you ate chips
anyway.
And your feet expanded
because
you were retaining water.
All right, so the point was going to be really spiritual.
Yeah.
And what was I going to say? Oh, you know what I was going to say? One awesome thing about getting older is, like, you know how... You get a good comment, you feel better about yourself. You get a bad comment, you feel worse about yourself. Or then you get a nice email from somebody that's good. You get something negative, that's bad. You get a promotion, you feel good about yourself for a couple days maybe. But it's like up and down based on something external. And there's something, and I don't think it happens to people just by getting older, but I do think if you're growing spiritually, that becomes less of a thing. And it's still there. Like, I still appreciate somebody saying, hey, good job. It means a lot. But it's not, my self-worth just isn't hung up on that stuff anymore. It's just, it's not based on that. And I think that, again, you can get older and still be hyper concerned about what everybody thinks. I mean, we have big examples and, you know, high profile examples in the world, but it doesn't have to be that way. And that's kind of a fun, freeing thing, because you get your, start putting your self-worth in something that doesn't change and who God is.
So we were just talking about how if you base your self-worth on stuff, credentials, for instance, or, you know, what people think of you, or applause or likes on Facebook or whatever, that's not a good idea, because once that's gone, where's your self-worth going to be?
Yeah. And someone always has more. That's the other thing.
Somebody always has more.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting too, because I think some people, they'll come to understand faith in Christ and they think, okay, so that means Jesus is going to make me more successful. He'll give me a higher position, more credentials, more respect, more whatever. And these examples in the Bible just don't jibe with that. Like, there's this guy, Paul, who, you know, he's featured in a lot of the New Testament books that he wrote, but he had credentials and he had status and he had comfort and he had respect. And he winds up saying, that's all garbage. In fact, he uses stronger language than garbage. Mm-hmm. So, and he winds up in prison, and he wouldn't trade it. It's clear he's happier, he's more joyful now in prison than he was when he had all that stuff. But yeah, his status didn't go up. He went from being well-respected with an elite education, by the way. He went from elite education guy to in prison and reviled by everybody who's cool. And he has this thing called joy. Wondering what you're doing Sunday if you're watching the Super Bowl, the big game, alone. 5% of the people who watch the Super Bowl watch it alone.
I totally get that.
I do too. Kind of appealing. I saw this in the context of a story. I guess it make you feel lonely or sad or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
I get the volume where I want it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at you, though. You're more social.
I'm not impressed by the whole thing unless my team is in it. Other than that, I do it for work. I watch it for work so we can talk about it. Other than that, yeah, it's just a glaring reminder that my team is not there. And I don't need that.
You take it as a personal thing. I think that's because you have hope for your team.
I do, yes.
But those of us who have given up hope a long time ago, we don't have to worry about that.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's not even on our radar screen.
So just give up,
like,
Sherry.
Like, Super Bowl. That's not for us. No. Saw this list today. Things women wish men knew about women. Things okay. Women wish men knew
about them.
Secret mm-hmm. of what women want. Things okay. Women wish men knew that are secrets.
Okay.
But we wish, like,
we wish that you guys knew these
we
secrets.
We knew these things.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
And I looked down the list as a guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, secret yeah. things, 25 secret things
sure.
that we don't know. And I think there's another secret here, and that is on our part.
Mm-hmm.
We already know all this stuff. I was looking down, you're like, yeah, that's not a secret there.
Okay.
It's because, largely because you already told us.
Mm-hmm.
And like no. one is that you want us to listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's not a secret.
Not really a secret. No. You would like us to, like, take care of having clean hair and faces and stuff.
Yep, yep, that's true.
That's
but you knew it.
That's out.
Okay.
you like it when we express effort toward mm-hmm. you.
Absolutely.
Again, these are all really good.
Okay.
It's just that they're not secrets because you already said it
right.
out loud.
So this is what men wish women knew about the
right.
secrets that they think men don't know.
Right.
That's
so our thing would start with, we already know all your stuff. Like all that stuff. There's probably stuff we don't know, but like that stuff.
You got it.
We call this the Honesty Cafe. That's when Sherry and I just sit here at a table with you and ask you a question. You got to be just totally honest. We've been talking with Laura. We've been asking people this question too, but it's about marriage. Laura's divorced. I thought, man, perfect person to ask about this, married for 12 years. The question about marriage was, what advice would you give a young couple about to get married?
You know, I would say, just really based on my own experience, the foundation that we started off with was terrible. You know, the friendship was good, but there were some things happened early on when we were married, and I really withdrew into myself. He had really regretted not getting to sow his wild oats. You know, we both just brought in some baggage.
Did you get married young?
No, I was 25.
I just wondered why he thought what he thought about getting to sow his wild oats or whatever.
I think if you asked him now, though, in his mid-40s, looking back, he'd say, that was really stupid of me. Why did I waste all that time and energy wishing that I'd gotten to go be, you know, Mr. Social Man?
Yeah, I went through some of that after we got married. We got married really young, but I struggled with that a little bit. Like, what have I done?
Mm-hmm.
Like, now, like, I married my first girlfriend.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have, you know, would that have been fun to date people? And when I hear people talking about it back in the day, I'm like, well, I missed out on it. And I didn't last very long, but definitely now that I'm in my mid-40s, I didn't miss much.
You probably, the way I watch you socialize, you probably need a nap just thinking about it.
The feeling some people get when they get married, like, oh no, what have I done? I've cut off all the other options.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have regrets about that, but that happens with so many things in life.
That's a very normal thing to feel that you missed out on something.
Yeah,
20 years later to look back and say, you know, I didn't really miss out on that, and that was, why did I think I did?
Yeah, I think I think that being in your 20s is part of it too, where you really especially feel that way. No matter what you've chosen,
you've missed
the boat. If you're single, you missed the boat. If you're married, you missed the boat. If you took this job,
exactly.
You missed, like, to decide. By definition means cutting off options. And if you're not used to doing that, you're always thinking my whole life is going to be this unending list of things that I can do. Like, the very, very start of limiting yourself is, if you're immature, it's tough to take.
So that would be good advice, is, you know, stop worrying about all these other boats you didn't take. This is the one you're on. So
that's good advice no matter what.
Work on this one and enjoy this one.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brand and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.